Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. Going to open up the show talking, obviously, about what's going on in the Ukraine. The Russian military does not look particularly good right now. Pardon me. And in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about how to make America a much better place. Join the patriots like Elon Musk and some of the other people. Jimmy, let's talk about what's going on in the Black Sea.
Yeah, so this has been, once again, another just disturbing week on what's going on within Ukraine. It's a tough week for Russia. It's certainly an incredibly tough week for the Ukrainians and the population there. What we know at this point is that it looks like Russian forces have consolidated around the port city of Mariupol, the Ukrainian port city of Mariupol, and that gives them a much greater advantage over economically over Ukraine by controlling a major port city that way. And they are Russians are moving forces away from Kiev and away from the northern and more western areas and consolidating forces and potentially preparing to put bigger strides to control that corridor in eastern Ukraine, which, again, from the beginning, I think is one of their major objective, and that's to get a land corridor to the Black Sea fleet. Of course, they had a real difficult situation happen with their flagship from the Black Sea fleet, Moskva, a heavy cruiser. Apparently, either a missile strike or some other action caused it to sink. They were trying to tow it back to port, and it wasn't able to go forward. That's a massive loss to Russian forces. But, of course, that goes in conjunction with probably close to 20, if not more than 20,000 Russian soldiers dead. Probably another 15 to 20, maybe 30,000 wounded. That is a big percentage of their invasion force, and very, very painful for people back in Russia. Although Putin seems to be still maintaining control, and people are still supporting him inside Russia.
You know, I have to say, Dr. Putin, he is a doctor, by the way, and not a medical doctor, but very, very, not esoteric, but complicated physical science. He's got a PhD in it. He's a pretty bright guy. There's no question about that. I am amazed, as I've said numerous times, Jimmy, on this program, that he called it the way he called it, because it turned out to be such a mistake. His regime is going to go down in history at this moment in time. If things continue going the way they're going right now, the regime is going to go down as one of the worst regimes in Russian history.
Yeah, now I know a lot of people that maybe listen or maybe participate and go to our blog don't necessarily agree with that, but I am confident that he made a massive mistake here. And here's another issue that people ought to be aware of. So on April 4th, he attempted to pay his 2022 and 2042 sovereign bond payments with rubles. And according to Moody's, got to be in dollars. And unfortunately, because of all the sanctions, it appears that he will not be able to meet that debt payment. The debt payment extension goes to May 4th, which may in fact create a default, the first time since basically Lenin took over in the communist revolution back in 1917-1920 period. So if they default on these bonds, you're going to see a very, very significant collapse in the ruble. And of course, a lot of people are out there. Some people are thinking that he's been, attempting to take out the global economic system. He just does not have the power to do that.
Not yet. No, not yet. He does not. My opinion about being willing to pay it in ruble, though, he's going to say, at least I would say, you know what? Here's the money. You just don't like the currency. Here's the money. Take it or leave it.
Well, he can do that, but they're going to not take it because they won't trust the value of the ruble, because the value of the ruble at that moment will collapse. And of course, there's so much international pressure on the financial markets in Russia and, of course, on the oligarchs of the power. This could be a very serious moment, but it may have ripple effects throughout bond markets around the world. And of course, you know, it's not going to play well there. In 1997, you had this massive collapse of the ruble, which really cost people. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that Russia, you know, they were used to a strong leadership. Russian people were. And the freedom that came after the fall of the Soviet Union and a control by Boris Yeltsin, who was basically a drunk, was really disconcerting and uncomfortable from being completely handed everything by the state up to that point. And then all of a sudden you had to be responsible for yourself. That caused tremendous problems, which allowed Putin to consolidate power, and then not only consolidate power politically, but also he and his cronies to take over massive amounts of the resources in the industry in former Soviet Russia. And that effort made them incredibly wealthy and incredibly powerful for a very small group of elite. But overall, most Russians liked the stability. And so they still look at Putin with some level of strength and confidence like they would a czar. And that's, you know, something a lot of people don't realize. Now, at the same time, the guy does control basically all the media outlets. So it's very, very much like the United States now, where the government has, you know, basically influence over all the major networks and the major tech companies, with the exception of Elon Musk, who's trying to change that. And we'll get to that in the next segment. But this is the challenge when you have no dissent or unaccepted dissent for policies. People still will support lies. We've seen it here in the United States. And unfortunately, I think the people of Russia are going to face it fairly quickly at even more economic severe level, not only the military, major military losses that they're having right now on the battlefield, which has got to be painful for many of those families that had no expectation of their children fighting in Ukraine.
Right. Well, the amount of, I guess I'd have to use the word social disruption, familial disruption that's going on in the Ukraine and Russia is really interesting. I mean, Ukrainians, I'm a Russian guy, okay? And I have a lot of relatives to this day who are actually originally from the Ukraine, and they consider themselves to be Ukrainsky, as they would say in Russian, but they consider themselves to be Ukrainians. But again, by the same token, it is just saddens me greatly when I look at what's going on, Jimmy, with some of the families. I mean, it's like the Civil War in the United States, man. It's just absolutely terrible. Jim, we've got a minute and a half left.
Yeah, it is incredibly painful and terrible. And, you know, for those out there that still believe that, you know, somehow this was justified by Putin, you know, if you've never been in war, right, if you've never seen the tragedy and the pain that's suffered by the people, the innocents that they get caught between these powerful entities, it's just really, really heart-wrenching and hurtful. And there's no justification for it. And, you know, even our own country, we've done things that we've made mistakes for. Typically, we try very hard to protect innocent civilians. We try very hard to avoid the types of things that are happening. The Russian military right now has got their restrictions are gone. They're doing crazy things and absolutely devastating the population. And the problem is there's so much social media and information out there. The Europeans see it, the West sees it, even the Russians eventually will see it. And and it's not turning out well for anyone.
No. Hopefully things in the United States are going to turn out better for everyone. Jim and I are going to devote the entire second half of the program to that. We've got some great ideas.